appreciate you using your talent to serve the Lord. Oftentimes when you hear this scripture read or when you read it yourself, you rarely, if ever, think about marriage. But tonight I want to take these scriptures and hopefully help you to apply them to your marital relationship, to your family, to your home. As I was thinking about preaching on the family and the home for some weeks here through the summer, as I customarily do, I, of course, thought about the scriptures that we're all familiar with. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. 1 Peter 3, how that men are to dwell with their wives according to knowledge. How they're to consider them. How they're considered that they are the weaker vessel. They're to honor them as the grace of life. And there's so many scriptures that I really feel like that probably a church like this, many of you have been saved, you've been brought up in church, you know those scriptures. And what you need is some help to do those scriptures. That's what I need. I need some help in doing what I know about those scriptures. I need God to help me to love my wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And some of you ladies, my wife included, need to understand what it is when God says, submit yourselves unto your husbands, your own husbands, as unto the Lord. We need to understand how to make that happen. What does that look like? What does it all mean? How are we going to have that to actually take place in our home? And I thought about these verses of Scripture, and I want to share some things with you. I really hope, and it's my prayer, that you'll get some help tonight. I believe this. I believe if we will just take God's Word at face value, we will get some help. These Scripture that Pastor David read in your hearing are some of the most powerful Scripture in all the Bible. Sometimes when you take powerful Scripture like this, and it's all powerful, but there's just some Scripture that just resonates. And when you get a familiar passage of Scripture with this kind of force, it can almost cause us to take it for granted. To where, oh yeah, I know that. I know that verse. I have it memorized. I've heard it preached. Well, just ask yourself this question. Not do I have it memorized. Not do I understand it all. Not how many times you've heard it preached. Not how many times you've preached it. Are you experiencing it? Because really the Scripture is not doing a whole lot in your life until you are experiencing the power of the truth of it. And so I want to ask you a question. As we look back at Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, can you say, yeah, I know what it is to trust the Lord with all of my heart. I know what it is not to lean upon my own understanding. I'm there. I know what it is in all of my ways to acknowledge Him. And here's really, as they say, the cream of the crop. I know what it is for Him to direct my paths. I know what that's like. That's happening. If it's not, well then I hope you'll listen up. Now if it is, listen anyway, and maybe you'll have it reinforced in your life. I want you to think with me about this. What would it be like if every husband said, you know what, that's me, that's what I'm doing. That's my goal right there. My goal is to trust in the Lord with all of my heart. And to not lean upon my own understanding. See, a man thinks different than a woman. I know that's deep, but a man thinks differently than a lady. And a man has what he thinks a marriage ought to be and what he thinks his responsibilities ought to be and what he thinks his wife wants. But God knows better than the man. And the ladies think, well, you know what? I have my idea about this, and this is how I think that it ought to be, and this is what I think my responsibility is, and this is how I think that God wants me. And many times, all that is an errant understanding of our own. Sometimes it's something that we picked up in the home that we were brought up in. Sometimes we've developed it in our own mind through reading outside of really what God wants us to be reading and understanding that we've developed from, well, really the world. And we think, well, I'll apply that and then everything's going to work out, or I'll do this and I'll do that, or I'll get my wife some help. And that's usually the way the man's thinking. You know, I'm going to get my wife some help, and I'm going to sit down with her, and I'm going to help her be the wife she ought to be. Or the woman's thinking, well, I'm going to work on him, and I'm going to change him in this area, and then everything's going to pan out. And can I tell you, none of that works. None of it works. Oftentimes, it just makes it worse. And so as I was thinking this past week, and as Sharon and I were driving to church tonight, we were thinking about the future of the church. And I said, you know, there's some folks in our church that they're getting old, honey. And of course, I was talking about me and her. That's the way you tell your wife that she's getting old. There's some folks in our church that are getting old, honey. And they're not going to be around there much longer, you know. And there's a generation of people that if Jesus doesn't come soon, this church is going to look different in about 10 years. It is. And then I thought this. I thought, you know, what a bright future Fellowship Baptist Church has. Because I began to think about some of you. I truly did. I thought, wow. What great preachers we have in this church. And I mean that. What great middle-aged. Now, I was trying to convince my class this morning that I was middle-aged and nobody bought it. Amen. I mean, they didn't. Actually, somebody called me out on it. I thought I was going to church him right there in Sunday school. But I'm serious. You look around you at some of these couples that are 40, 45 years old, 50 years old. God has blessed this church with some really, really fine couples around that age. And then you look at some of these younger couples that are coming up. My goodness, how God has blessed us with some good, dedicated, consecrated couples who were serious about serving God with their life. So you know what? The future of the church is bright. But I want to encourage you to keep it that way. Because this church is never going to be stronger than the homes that make it up. The reason the church is what she is because the homes that make it up are what they are. Can I ask you a question? How's your home life? Are you spiritual? Do spiritual things have a priority in your family? Do your children know, hey, we're serious about this thing of serving God? Does your family know that you're serious about this? Do they see a dedication? Do they see a consecration in your life? I hope that they do. And so I want to encourage you to just keep on for Jesus, okay? And I want to give you something to keep on. I want to give you something that will help you to do that tonight. All right? So here we go. Are there difficulties in marriage? Sure there are. All of us have difficulties. Every one of us. So my marriage doesn't have any difficulty. Well, quit lying to yourself. Every marriage has difficulties. Every marriage has struggles. Every marriage has humps and bumps in the road. And we have to learn what it is to trust God to get us through those hard times. And that's what this is doing. I want you to notice with me, I think what is happening here is the question is being asked, how do you meet difficulties in life? But I'm just going to say in marriage, because marriage is a big, big part of life. How do you meet difficulties in marriage? Solomon, tell us. Men of wisdom, tell us. Men of God, tell us how we are to face these difficulties. He said, I'll tell you how you face these difficulties. You don't need a marriage counselor. I'm grateful for counseling. I'm grateful for it. I've done some. I'm grateful for good marriage counselors. I'm grateful for that. I'm thankful for it. But I'm going to tell you the greatest thing you can do for your marriage. And it's found in verse number 5. He said, there is a part of you. Now listen to me. He said, son, listen to me. Look at verse number 1. My son, don't you forget now. Don't you forget. You think you know more than you do. And so don't you lean upon your own understanding when it comes to your marital problems. When your marriage falls on hard times, when you're strained in your marital relationship, when there's a battle going on in your home, Don't you lean on your own understanding. Don't you think you have the answers. That word lean there means exactly what you think it means. It means to prop up. I hope you'll look it up. It means to support oneself. It means to lean confidently. Don't you lean on what you think you know. Don't you lean on what you think will work. That's the reason a lot of marriages end up in divorce. Because we think we know. We have the answers. Listen, God is not only the creator of man, God is the creator of marriage. God is the one who initiated marriage. God is the one who set this thing up between man and woman. Amen. Man can't even get it straight that it's supposed to be a man and a woman. And so we don't need to be leaning on our understanding. We don't need to be leaning on what we think we know. We need to take the other route. When I thought about this leaning upon our own understanding, I thought about the way that this scripture is written out. It's saying natural understanding. See, to trust in the Lord is a supernatural thing. To lean upon your own understanding is a natural. And there's just something in us that naturally thinks, I have the answer to this. I can work this out. I can make this work. It's kind of like the old adage, I've got this, right? I've got this. I can take care of this. I don't need a preacher preaching at me. I don't need the Bible. I don't need God's word. I've got this. I think I know enough about life to work out a little marital problem. Well, I don't know if you do or not. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say you don't. Because Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And I'm going to take his word on it. Would you take his word with me? We can't do anything without the Lord, brethren. And so you can, those of you that are married, we that are married can say, well, you know what? I think I'm going to trust me. I'm not going to trust me. I'm going to trust him. And those of you that plan on getting married can say, well, I think I'm going to trust my way. I'm going to ask you tonight not to do that. I'm going to ask you to trust God's way. You won't be sorry if you'll trust his way. And so the first thing that he says here when it comes to meeting difficulties is there has to be a trusting confidence. There has to be a confidence in who you're trusting. And he says in verse number 5, he said, don't trust yourself. Don't lean. You see that? That's put weight on. When you lean on something, you're putting confidence in it. You're saying, I can lean on this. I can lean on my own understanding. I can trust it. Don't do it. Don't do it. There's been times in my own life I've trusted my own understanding. I've thought, you know what? I know enough about this. I think I can take this one. My goodness, what a mistake. What a mistake to think, well, I think I've got this one. I don't know that I'll need to acknowledge the Lord in this. I think I know enough about this as a person, as a pastor, as a husband, as a father. I think I've got this. What a terrible mistake. Terrible. And I'm glad that God is teaching me still. Son, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't do that. Can I ask you tonight? Don't do that. Don't lean on your own understanding. So what am I to do then? You trust in the Lord. That's what he said in verse 5, isn't it? When it comes to your marriage, you trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, all of it. You know, that word trust, it means to hastily, now listen, it means to hastily run to for refuge. And it means to do it boldly, confidently. Refuge. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Amen? You can trust him. You can run to him. He will give you the wisdom. He will give you the way out. He will show you. He will teach you what you're to do. As a husband, as a father, if I would have learned more to trust the Lord and not lean on my own understanding, I'd be a better man for it. You would too. As a wife, as a mother, can I encourage you, trust the Lord. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, we're going to talk about that in just a moment. So he's saying this. He's saying, don't lean on yourself. Trust in the Lord. Don't take your way. Take God's way. God has a lot to say about the marital relationship. Amen. You know, could you imagine what our marriages would be if every husband in here would just apply verse number 5? We want to get to verse 6. If we just said, you know, I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to trust Him. If every wife were to do that, could you imagine how our homes would be strengthened? We're busy trying to figure everything out and correct everybody else. We need to get ourselves worked out, brother. Amen. So, well, this one needs to get this word out in their marriage, and this one needs to get this word out in their marriage, and this home and that home. What about you getting you worked out? Amen. See, that's who I have control over. I don't have any control over you, but I do have control over this vessel. Amen. And you have control over your vessel. Even when it comes to trying to fix your mate, you're not going to fix your mate. Amen. Look right up here at the preacher, okay? You're not going to fix your mate. It's not even your place to do that. God can help fix you, and He can help fix your mate. Could you imagine if every man in the building quit trying to get his wife right and just got himself right? Could you imagine? If every wife under the sound of my voice just quit trying to get her husband right and got herself right, could you imagine what would happen? Our homes would be stronger. But there's just something in us that feels like we have to fix somebody, you know? I mean, do you have that in you? You know, I got to fix somebody. I got to fix them. You're not going to fix them. And if you do, it'll be just a patch-up job that won't last a week, if that long. Somebody say amen with me. You know what it is to fix your spouse. You fixed him, right? Right, ladies? You fixed him for about a week, maybe a day. Maybe it didn't even last 24 hours. No, don't lean on your understanding. You trust the Lord. Is the Lord worth trusting, brethren? Then trust Him. Can you trust Him? How are you going to trust Him? You got to know Him. You're not going to trust anyone you don't know. How are you going to know Him? You're going to have to spend some time with Him. You're not going to know anyone you don't spend time with. Spend time with Him. Learn to trust Him. Learn to trust Him. Learn to love Him. Learn to love and trust Him. You learn to obey Him. Learn to obey Him. And you'll see His blessing. You will. And God will bless your home. He will. So, how am I going to face difficulties? And you're going to have it. Listen, it's not if you have it, it's just when. You're going to have difficulties in your marriage. We all have them. And it just depends on what stage you are in your marriage or what type of difficulties you're going to have. But the Bible teaches me that if I will not lean on my own understanding, this is a dangerous thing. A dangerous thing. I need to trust the Lord. Don't forget now what that word trust means. It means to hastily run to refuge. That's what it means. It means to hastily run. You say, well, what does refuge mean? It means shelter. It means hope. I can't tell you the marriages in my almost 40 years of ministry that I've seen where, I mean, on the rocks, looked like it was done. And this verse of Scripture really was put into action where they began to trust God to work things out. They turned to the Lord, and God gave them refuge. God gave them hope. And so I don't know what you're going through. You may not. You say, well, we're having the best years of our marriage. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can I tell you it can get better? Amen. It can get better. So I pray that you will trust the Lord and that you will learn what it is to not lean upon your own understanding. Number two, not only is there this difficulty and that we must have confidence, but there's this devotion that he mentions where there's got to be a total commitment. A total commitment. Notice what he says in verse number 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Now that's total commitment right there. Not just in some of the ways. Not just sometimes. Not just when there's trouble. Right? Not just when, you know, man, it looks like the bottom's falling out. We better call on God. No, in all of thy ways, acknowledge Him. Run it through God. Amen. Run it by Him. God, what do you think about this? I'm getting ready, or we're getting ready to do this. Lord, I want your blessing on this. There was a man, and Sharon and I don't know, maybe some folks here that some of my family may, did you know Brother John Waters? There was an old saint of God. What a saint of God. It was one of my Bible teachers, an aged gentleman. He and his wife were some of the most godly people I've ever met in my life. And I'll never forget, I wrote this statement down. He said, it is a rule of my life to do nothing without God's blessing upon it. I want to see what God thinks about it before I do it. Now you think about that. I'm not going to just go out and do things on a whim. I'm not going to just go out and do what I think is right. I'm not going to lean on my understanding. I'm going to ask God, God, what do you think about this? And it showed up in his life too. What a man of wisdom. Can I ask you not only not to lean upon your own understanding, but look at verse number 6. In all of our ways, acknowledge him. In all of our ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. What does that word acknowledge mean? What does it mean, brother? When you acknowledge somebody, you look to them because you have a knowledge of them. An acknowledgement of someone is showing, I have a knowledge, I want to get better acquainted. I want to acknowledge this person by the knowledge I have, but I want to have a deeper knowledge of them. I want to acknowledge them in all of my ways. Acknowledge God. Get God's knowledge. Know more about Him. And as we know more about Him, we'll seek more of His knowledge. Acknowledge Him in all of your ways, all of them. Listen, brethren, this word all, it's a small word, but it's big, and it's used, I can't tell you how many times in the Bible, over and over and over, in all of our ways, acknowledge Him. You can't say you're trusting the Lord. Look at it again. With all thine heart, if you're not acknowledging Him in all thy ways. You can't say you are. So, well, I want my marriage to be good. I want it to be strong. I want my marriage to have peace. I want to have joy. I want us to live the fulfilled life. I want us to live the Spirit-filled life and to do what God would have us to do. And so I've been thinking, how could I love my wife more? Acknowledge God. How could I be a better wife? Acknowledge God. How could we be better parents? Acknowledge God. We're looking for all this self-help stuff. I've done it. Brethren, this is the best self-help you'll ever get. Just acknowledge God. God, am I doing this right? Listen to Him. You know, when someone's acknowledging you, they're listening to you. I really fear that sometimes when I pray, and I can't speak for you, but I've listened to others pray, if we're not careful, we'll go before the Lord and we'll say, now listen, God, your servant's getting ready to speak. And then start praying. What we need to say is, Lord, speak. Your servant's listening. I need to hear what you say. God, I need to hear your instruction. I don't know how to be a father. I don't know how to be a good husband. I don't know how to be a good preacher, a good pastor. God, I just want you to show me and teach me. I read this week, and it really stood out to me. You say, well, preacher, I know all that. You know, that may be our problem. He who has no inclination to learn more will be very apt to think he knows enough. I'm going to read that again. He who has no inclination to learn more will be very apt to think he knows enough. Keep learning. Keep growing. Amen? Keep acknowledging God in your life. God has more yet to teach me, and God has more yet to teach you. Amen. And so, trust in the Lord. Run to Him for refuge. Run to Him for hope. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't think that that's going to prop you up or hold you up in the hard times. It's not. How many people have fallen because they've leaned upon their own understanding? They went with their feelings. But one of the worst things you can do is start a sentence out with, I think. Well, I think. Don't go leaning on your own understanding now. We need to know what God says, not what I think. Amen. And I'm guilty of it. And so he said, you want this thing to work out, trust the Lord now with all of thine heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Oh, there's something about this old flesh. It'll say, I've got this. You can do this, right? You know how to do it. You can do it. No, I need God's help to do it. I do. And then there's the devotion. Acknowledge him in all of thy ways now. In all of thy ways. Be all in. I said it this morning, and perhaps some took offense to it, but that's okay. Listen, I didn't say it for people to take offense. Just get all in. God, spare us from this mentality of the bare minimum. You know, I just want to do just enough to where people will think I'm in. Well, God knows where you are. God knows where I'm at. Away with this bare minimal stuff. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. In all of thy ways acknowledge him. Not some of them. Don't reserve. Don't hold back. Don't just go to God with some of it. Take it all to him. Amen. God's still teaching me that. Somebody might say, well, you know, preacher, you're up there preaching that. Are you doing it? Well, God's teaching me. I'm open to it. I want God to help me. I realize it's a need that I have. I need God to help me in all. I want God to help me in every area of my life. And in order for that, I need to acknowledge him with everything in my life. I don't want to just go running and flying into things without thinking it through and taking it before the Lord. And I'm encouraging you now, don't do that either. Okay? Now, this is where the rubber meets the road. And so I want to spend the rest of the time here. I want you to look at the last phrase there. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Now, you've trusted the Lord. And if you haven't, I hope that you will. With all of your heart. You're not leaning on your own understanding. You're trusting the Lord. You're saying, God, I need your help. I don't know what it is. I can't have a good home without you. And so I'm trusting you. And listen, it wouldn't matter if you're 25 and have brown hair or 85 and have white hair. You still need this. You still need to trust the Lord. One of the worst things, some of us got a little bit of an age, I'm middle age. Some of us middle age and some of you that are older than me. Some of the worst things we can do, that's right, Brother Allen, I see you back. You're middle age. We're middle age, brother. Now, Brother Larry's 88. I don't know. He might be above middle age. Listen to me. If we're not careful, we'll think, I know all this stuff. I've got this stuff down. You'll never get there. Not in this life, nor in the one to come. Amen? Let me get my elderly brethren to help me out here. We'll never get to the place. Listen, if a man like the Apostle Paul said, I haven't apprehended. Amen? I hadn't reached the mark. I'm still pressing toward it. Amen? I haven't gotten there yet. By the way, we haven't either. Amen, Brother Alston? Still learning. And so please don't get to that place where you think, well, you know what? We got this, preacher. No, we don't. There we go again, leaning on our own understanding. That's a terrible thing to do. How many shipwrecks have I been to where people said, I don't know, I just thought, oh, and I'm thinking, oh my, you what? I just thought this would work, or I just thought this would happen. Did you pray about it? Did you run this by God? Well, I just leaned on my own understanding. Now, they don't say that, but what they tell me is saying that. So please don't do that. Please don't do that. Young folks, please listen to me. Young couples, please listen to me. The devil wants to destroy your home. He wants to wreck your life. And if you're not careful, why you think, well, that would never happen to me. Can I tell you, I don't know anyone that gets married thinking probably in about 5 or 8, 10 years, our marriage will be in shambles and we'll be getting a divorce. That just never happens. But I'll tell you what does happen. people begin to lean on their own understanding. They become comfortable not trusting the Lord and not acknowledging God, and they get a little deeper in, and it's almost like they've had a tangled web that they have woven, and they've been ensnared by the enemy. And so I'm begging you, please, young couples, you have so much promise ahead of you. God has so much for you. So much. There's so much potential locked in you. Don't acknowledge. Listen, don't lean on your own understanding. Trust God. Trust Him. He has something for your life. He has great things for you. There's a plan for you. But it can all go quickly when you begin to lean on your own understanding. All right? You want God to direct your paths? Here it is. That's the key right there. I've memorized this scripture probably 35 years ago. I've heard it preached. I've heard it sang. I never knew what the word direct, never even took the time to look it up. And so God spoke to my heart. You say, well, God don't speak to people's heart. Well, I'm sorry to hear that He's not speaking to you. He speaks to my heart. And God moved on my heart and spoke to me, and I looked up this word direct. It means make straight paths. Look it up. And so here's what I'm being told here. You trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and not lean upon your understanding. And if you'll acknowledge Him in all of your ways, He'll take care of those barriers, that opposition that's on the path that you're traveling. God will take care of those for you. That's exactly what it's saying. He will direct thy paths. He'll make them straight. He'll smooth them out for you. God will do that. You say, well, you mean I won't have any problems? Oh, you'll have some opposition. Because with all opportunity comes opposition. Is that right? Amen. But God will be there to fight your battles for you. God will be there to make it right. When you and the wife have a problem, when you and the husband have a problem, when your family's going through some times, God will be there to straighten your path. God will be there to intercede on your behalf. Listen to me, I'm telling you what the Bible teaches. God will be there for you. You say, well, He's not there for me. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you trusting Him with all of your heart? Are you acknowledging Him in all of your ways? The only way that He's going to direct your paths is if you trust Him with all your heart. Is that what the Bible says, brethren? And you acknowledge Him in all your ways. You want God to make straight your paths? Right here it is. You say, well, how's God going to do that? How's He going to direct my paths? I want you to write these down and I'll be done tonight, okay? I'm just going to give them to you. Psalm 119:105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God, through His word, will show you the way. And He'll guide you along life's way. He'll guide you in your marriage. He'll guide you along life's paths. God will guide you. He'll show you what you should do. He'll show you where you should live. He'll show you how you should serve. He'll show you what you should do. God will. The second thing, not only will we do it through His word, but God will speak to your heart through prayer. Now, you have to be careful about this, but I want you to turn just for a second to Acts. Turn to the book of Acts. We have about 5 minutes here, so I want you to listen up. Turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 1, first of all. Look at Acts chapter 1. I'm talking to you about how God will direct your path. Say, I need God to direct my path, preacher. I need God to direct me. How can I get God directing me? Well, you got to trust Him with all of your heart. And you have to acknowledge Him. You have to say, God, I want You to help me. Right? God, I want You to help me. I'm acknowledging You. I'm trusting You. I want You to direct my paths. And He said, if you'll acknowledge me, I'll direct your paths. Is that what He said? If you'll do this, God will do that. That's what He said. You trust me. You acknowledge me, and I'll direct your paths. I don't know that there's anyone in here that wouldn't say, preacher, I like that. I want God to direct my paths. We need God to direct our paths. And so He said here in Acts chapter 1, look at verse number 24. Acts 1 verse 24, here they are, the disciples, they're praying, they're trying to find a, a replacement for Judas, and they prayed and said, "Thou Lord," you see that in verse 24, Acts 1, verse 24, "which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen." God, you show us. You show us. You know our hearts. You know what we need. Can I tell you, God will show you too? God will show you. You say, "Well, now, I don't know if God speaks to people like that." Well, turn over to Acts chapter number 8 just for a moment. Can I tell you, over and over again in the Word of God, God speaks to people's hearts. God needs to be speaking to your heart. God needs to be speaking to my heart. Our homes would have less problems if we'd listen when God speaks. And brethren, I'm telling you, we need to pay attention to what God says. God means what He says. God's not going to change what He says for us. God's not going to change His word for you. God's not going to change His word for me. He'll tell us what it says. He'll even give us the power to obey it. But we have a choice to make. Acts chapter 8, are you there? Look, if you would, in verse number 29. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Very familiar. And here's God, through the Spirit, speaking to a man's heart. And listen, in verse number 29, "Then the Spirit said to Peter," can I ask you a question? How did the Spirit of God speak to Peter? Did the Spirit of God go up to Peter and say, "Hey," or Philip, I'm sorry, did the Spirit of God go up to Philip and say, "Hey, Philip, go over and join yourself to that chariot. Philip." No. The Spirit of God spoke to his heart. The way the Spirit of God speaks to my heart. The way that God will speak to your heart when you acknowledge Him. When we acknowledge God, He will direct our paths. He will impress upon my heart what He would have me to do. Now, you have to be careful here, because the devil can put thoughts in your heart too. He did Ananias and Sapphira. That's right. That's why we are to be in tune with God. If it doesn't line up with God's word, it's not God. Amen. I want God to direct my paths, preacher. He said, "I will direct your paths. I'll direct my paths through my word. My word will reveal my will, and my spirit will speak to you what I have for you." Just like he did Philip. Again, you're looking at verse number 29 of Acts chapter 8. "The Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot." The Spirit didn't speak. Holler out across the desert and say, "Hey, Philip!" He impressed it upon his heart. Acts 13, if you'll look here. In Acts 13, you know this account of the Scripture, where the Scripture says in verse number 2 of Acts 13, "They ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." The Spirit of God spoke to those folks in the church there at Antioch. And he said, he impressed upon their heart. The Spirit of God didn't go in the church that night and speak like I'm speaking audibly to you. He impressed upon their heart. The Spirit of God will impress upon my heart. And he will impress upon your heart. He will lead you in your marriage. He will lead you in your life. He will tell you what his plan is. If we'll just listen. If we'll just listen. You say, "Well, the Spirit of God doesn't work like that anymore, preacher." Oh, come on. Surely you know better than that. The Spirit of God spoke to your heart when you got saved. He called you to salvation. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart when he called me to preach. No man called me to preach. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart. And he chose me to preach the Word of God. The Spirit of God calls preachers. Amen. The Spirit of God calls you to the service you're in. How? Like this? "Hey, Dale Freeman, I want you to preach." No. He impressed it upon my heart. That's how God will direct my path. God's been directing my path for many years now, when I will allow him to. And God wants to direct your paths too. He does. Did you know I have many more scripture, but I'm going to close tonight. The Spirit of God will speak and direct your path through wisdom. We've been talking about it in the book of Proverbs. "If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God." The Spirit of God will give you wisdom to make the right choice. He will. But now you've got to acknowledge Him. You have to acknowledge God. I just want to ask you a simple question tonight. Are you trusting in the Lord with all of your heart? Are you acknowledging Him in all of your ways? Or is it just like in case of emergency thing? You know, in case of emergency, break open the Bible or get in prayer. And I'm not saying that. I'm not speaking down. I'm just saying that's no way to live the Christian life. God's looking for constant, continuous fellowship with the believer. So as you stand to your feet, let me ask you again, how's your marriage? Truthfully now, things going well? They should be and they can be. How's your home? How's your children? Are you trusting the Lord with all of thine heart? You say, preacher, I'm asking God to help me to do that. I am too. I don't know that I could stand up here and truthfully say, as God is my witness, that I'm trusting the Lord with all of my heart. God's teaching me to do that. I want to do that. I think I'm doing that. But sometimes, I just be honest with you, I think sometimes I lean on my own understanding. And I don't have to do it long before God just kind of thumps me on the head and says, hey, nah, you know better than that. Acknowledge me, and I'll direct your paths. You don't need to do this on your own. You know this doesn't work out. Right, brethren? Many of you have been saved long enough to know that doesn't work out too well when you start leaning on your own understanding. So how's it going? Are you the husband you need to be? Are you the leader? Are you leading your family spiritually? Are you teaching your family how to trust the Lord? Are you showing them how to acknowledge God in all of their ways? Are you setting that example to your family, to your children? I trust that you are. I do. And if you're not, could I please impress upon your heart, let tonight be the night that you say, God, help me to do that. Would you bow your head with me? As the pianist begins to play,